tonight, R.C. Collins joins us. He is a junior cadet at the Bradley Military Academy. This is a prep school, but it is a military academy-style prep school. He hopes to go on to West Point, and he's going to be telling us about the soldiers that he's in touch with in Iraq. He's talking to a lot of the soldiers. A lot of these guys have been through hell, and when they come back to the States, they're going to want to meet girls. Now, that's a good and a bad thing, because the magazines that they have available to them over there in Iraq and Afghanistan are basically FHM, Maxim, Playboy, so their standard is going to be pretty high, and RC is not too happy with the pickings they're going to be looking at when they get back here. So what can you ladies do to maybe, and I say this with the greatest of compassion, to maybe make yourselves look a little more presentable? We'll be talking about that in our next hour. 1-800, it's not my opinion, it's this punk, I mean this young punk, young punk, not young punk, but a nice young boy that we're going to have on, R.C. Collins. And also we'll have our flashback by request, a reminder that our next webcast is Friday the 29th. Friday the 29th, in order to get the webcast, we will have three different camera angles for this newer webcast. We've got a camera mounted in the far corner of the studio. We have one in our screening room. We have one that oversees the actual broadcast console. And we'll have a very special guest MC for the Phil. Yeah. Kind of stepping it up a notch, kind of kicking it up, just a little bit in entertainment value. Not that it could be kicked up all that much more, could it? We'll have a special guest MC for that program, the webcast. And you're only able to get the webcast if you have a backstage pass. And in order to get the backstage pass, go to our web address, www.philhenryshow.com. You know, speaking of cool, man, I got to tell you this. Oh, I left it in the, gosh, I left it in the office. I'll tell you about it as soon as we get it. But Matthew Modine, guess what? He's got a book coming out. You remember Matthew Modine in Full Metal Jacket? He's got the photographic diary of Full Metal Jacket coming out. Matthew Modine played the character Joker. And while he was on the set of Full Metal Jacket, he took a series of black and white photographs. I saw a few of them. And they're really, they're interesting because Giant Magazine, I wonder why they call it Giant. You know what I'm saying? Well, in any event, it looks pretty cool. And there's a couple of shots of Arlie Ermey. Now, we have our flashback coming up, but I also this hour, in fact, if I could reach it, I would go and grab. We have Arlie Ermey called our show one night, and this was years ago when poor Lee Ermey didn't know what the show was about. Now, I understand that Lee listens to our show. I call him Lee, thinking, you know, I know him, which I don't. And now he listens to our show and occasionally will say things like that Maggot Hendry did it again. So in any event, there's a couple of pictures of Arlie Ermey, who played the drill instructor. And, you know, Full Metal Jacket has been called the greatest half of a movie ever made. The first half being the Paris Island drill instructor segment, which is just amazing. And the actors are tremendous. Arlie Ermey sort of orchestrates the whole thing. As he said, in fact, I'm going to play the clip of... Can't we play it? We beeped it. It's beeped.
I don't know, Phil. I'd be in trouble.
I think if I hear one, what can we not have, GD? Does he say a-hole? And we're not allowed to have that. The first a-hole that comes out of his mouth, should we just go ahead and dump the bit out? All right, I'll tell you what we'll do, folks. We'll try and get through the Arlie Ermey bit, which is on our 97, if I'm not mistaken, either 97 or 90, I think it's on our 97 CD. And we'll play that for you when we come back. We'll also have our flashback request, so we're going to have maybe a kind of a two-for-one deal here. But he called in, and he said some very interesting things about the making of that movie. That's why I wanted you to hear it. But anyway, this diary, it's called The Full Metal Jacket Diary. It's a series of photographs taken by Matthew Modine, one of the lead actors in the film, with commentary. I think it'll be very interesting. I'll try and grab the article and read it to you. So we got R.C. Collins coming up later on tonight. Also, Robert Green is going to be joining us, who is the CEO of Fraser Foods. Skippy and Frank, another wacky on-air prank. They call the federal authorities and say they know where Natalie Holloway's body is. Isn't that great? Oh, I'll bet you they're just they're going to be the toast of Fungoy Broadcasting, whatever the hell they work at. I almost said the Italian version of the F-word, bud.
What's it start with?
A B. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. And it is not broadcast, it's not airable as it is. We have to do some pretty serious editing on it. We'll have it for you tomorrow night. It's a cool piece because actually Lee Ermey, I thought Lee Ermey was great in the movie, and I think he's a, you know, I think he's a far more compelling and interesting guy than, say, Larry King, who's the other celebrity that we've actually goofed on the air. Way more interesting than Larry King. And has gone on to be, some people think, a caricature of himself, but the fact is the guy decided to make a couple of bucks off of his image, and he's doing pretty good. Isn't he on that History Channel where he does that mailbag? This is Mailbag with Lee Ermey. You know? And they show tanks and jeeps and stuff blowing up. It's cool. All right. So we'll have that for you tomorrow night. But check this thing out in Giant Magazine. Actually, buy the book. Or don't buy the book. Maybe it sucks. But check it out in the magazine first, then decide. It's time now for our flashback request. This is from Bo Pleasant. Yeah, okay. That's great, Bo. And it says, Phil, would you please play the bit? Now, he didn't write this email like this. This thing has got black lines running through it. Like I said, like the FBI got a hold of it before they could release it to the public. Phil, would you please play the bit that has football coach Vernon Dozier discussing his players being sodomized by inanimate objects? Backstage pass and loyal listener, Bo Pleasant. Here it is, Bo. Now, this was requested just a couple of weeks ago, but it's from October of 2003. Vernon Dozier.
Hi, I'm calling regarding the coach.
Yes, ma'am.
Who I just heard say watched someone be sexually assaulted and he did nothing to help him.
Well, it's none of my concern,
the father and the mother.
It's none of my concern, ma'am.
None of your concern
I have
when
to look
you walk in on another human being?
I've got to look at game film. I've got things that, look at. Are you a single mother?
No, I am not a single mother.
All right. I would suggest that any woman out there that chooses to live without a man and raise a boy, I would suggest that she go ahead and buy the Vaseline right now rather than because she's made her son into a rape victim.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold on a second. And what if she's a widow? Should she go ahead and buy that Vaseline then, too?
Ma'am, all I'm saying is I think that a young man needs a father in his life, but not one that's too domineering.
Right.
Okay.
Do you have children, sir?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have children?
I'm not able to have children, though.
No. Yeah. Thank God.
I can't hear you, ma'am. Your car phone's so cheap.
I said thank God.
You date God?
She said thank God.
I'm sorry, I can't hear her.
Yeah, I said thank God that you are not able to have children. The reason I called is to hope that the superintendent of the school system that you work for is listening tonight and you do not have a job tomorrow.
So in other words, you're a parent trying to take the blame off of your... You see, I knew this would happen.
Absolutely not.
You want to blame all the coaches.
For anybody's behavior.
Stop a group of boys holding down another boy, they may think I want to join in, okay? And if somebody walks in on me trying to... They're going to immediately assume that I'm involved in that sexual assault, not trying to break it up.
And as a professional, then it's your job to have another professional with you.
They're going to think it's some kind of a sick gangbang.
Yeah.
And they're.
Yeah. Well, is your fear?
I'm not going to sacrifice 30 years of coaching because somebody like you, Rhonda, walks in and sees me trying to break it up, and you assume I'm the ringleader because that's the kind of person you probably are. And so there's no justice in this world.
So you think that there are people, you just as soon walk away from one student as sexually assaulting another because it may be perceived that you're the ringleader.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. That is.
You fart?
No, I didn't fart.
What was that?
That was me. Get out of here, bud.
Barbara?
Get out. There it is. That is whatever the hell it was. That's our flashback. Vernon Dozier, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up tonight, Skippy and Frank. We'll also have Bob Green, Margaret Gray. Jeff Dowder is going to join us right now to talk about what has been just an unbelievable tragic situation. Oh, before we do that, though, the very tragic situation there in Aruba, you probably have read about the shootout with the Los Angeles police and a guy who was holding a little baby, and the baby was killed. Now, it was totally shocking to me. The next day, I heard on the radio, I've never heard this before, people said, the police should have held their fire. They killed that baby. Wow! Did you expect that to happen? I didn't. That was so surprising. It's so surprising when you hear people immediately assume the worst about cops, isn't it? Just a shock and a half. God, it's all you could set your freaking watch by it. Okay, man comes out holding baby, firing at cops. Most sane people would think that's a completely unacceptable situation, and that man should be sent straight to Pit 6, 4th Ring, hell. Zip code 9000-freaking-0. That's what most people might think. But on the planet Earth, where I live, this body that's not too far from the sun near Venus, they automatically think the coppers are scumbags because they shot the guy and the baby was killed, yes. Now, here's what I suggest, and I hope that the LAPD will finally take this into their heads because they're such Nazis. Number one, I would much rather see a police officer, the father of, say, oh, three children, with a wife, people to support, I would much rather see him die from the bullets of that guy than any innocent tiny little baby held by her father, who is at his mercy, who is brought into this world by that scumbag and the whatever it was that had her. I would much rather see a cop who is functioning as someone protecting society, has kids, has a wife, has a job, is contributing, is paying taxes, is a person, is vital, is giving, is not, you know, is giving a hell of a lot of matter. I'd rather see him just gunned down in cold blood by some wildly shooting maniac holding a baby than have the cops return fire, try to defend themselves. Maybe the kid gets killed, maybe the kid doesn't. But to have that little baby, you know, so that's the knee-jerk thing. And now what? Is this mother suing the cops? Is that what I heard? You know anything about this, Jeff?
Only about what I saw on the news, and I think you're really overreacting a little bit, Miss Rary. A little tiny baby got gunned up, and you can't really talk about it, you know?
What do you mean I can't? Yes, I can. The coppers, that cop got wounded. You know there was a cop wounded.
Yeah, I understand that, but they're supposed to be wearing flak jackets.
It doesn't matter. Flak jacket isn't going to protect you from getting wounded. Flak jacket may keep you from getting killed. May.
Well, didn't you see that there's a little baby there? I mean, everybody could see it. And when I read about it the next day, the first thing that came into my mind was, I'll tell you right now, if I was one of those officers, I would have withheld my fire until I knew I was shot. And only then would I return fire, and only if I knew that I was shot. But you have to stop and assess the situation. Am I shot? You got to put your gun down on the hood of the car and check your body. Okay, is there a gun hole, bullet? No. Okay, good. Then take your gun, and then...
Are you an idiot or something, man? How is he going to do that?
You never heard of stopping and assessing the situation.
Yeah, I have heard about stopping and assessing the situation, and I understand it's got a lot of cops killed, too. Stop and assess the situation. You know,
that happens to be standard.
And what do you mean put your gun down on the hood of the car and check to see if there's any bullet holes?
That's how you do it. You stop and say, look, I even called to talk about this, you know, and you asked my opinion.
Well, you're right. All right. I'm sorry. I did ask your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to give you the other thing you're supposed to do. You talk to like a lot of police officers, especially police officers in Northern California. I'm sorry, but I had Szechuan chicken. They told me...
Okay, I'm going to hang up on you just because you...
No, please don't do it.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It really was. It was Szechuan chicken and chicken fried rice. And
God, I can smell it through the phone now. Oh, man.
What is that?
Gee.
Sorry, man. Anyway, you have to... Technically, you've got to strip your pants off and check for welts, too. While you're...
This guy's out there with a gun and holding a baby. You got to stop and assess the situation. Am I shot? Let me take my pants off and check.
That's correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know any sensible police department that can last 5 seconds with a policy like that. But you're right. I didn't...
I didn't even come on to talk about that. I want to talk about something that's a little bit more in the real world, you know, and not these, you know, theoretical...
Well, it ain't theoretical, man. It happened, you know.
Well, yeah, okay. But maybe it didn't happen. I want to talk about something in the real world, if I could, Mr. Henry. That's why I'm on your program. Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Dowder. It's time for this evening's news commentary, brought to you by Marlboro Cigarettes. You shouldn't smoke, but if you have to, especially if you're in jail, Reds. Marlboro Reds. Flavorful. Tastes good. You can trade a punk for... I'm kidding about that.
I just do the bit.
Okay. A lot of you have seen the photographs of the bombers of London. It's very tragic. And you've probably seen their photographs. In the newspaper today, I think it's pretty obvious that questions have to be asked. They had the picture on the front page of the Mirror, which is the London newspaper, Mr. Henry. You see it?
I did see, yes, I saw. You mean the one single shot?
Yes, sir. I think it is a question that needs to be asked. I don't want to begin to point fingers, but I do believe that you have to take facts at face value. The gentleman on the cover of the Daily Mirror, as far as I can tell, that is a lot. It looks like a dead ringer for David Schwimmer, okay? And all I'm saying is...
Okay, wait a minute.
No, I'm just... I want to just say one thing, if I could, before you just dismiss it out of hand. Friends went off the air. Jennifer Aniston, okay, she got, you know, she got her hooks in Brad Pitt. Okay, she's taken care of. Okay, the other one, you know, what's her name? The chick that was in,
Who?
The chick that was in,
What?
You know,
Okay, let me see, Courtney Cox. Now, there ain't no arguing that point. Everybody saw it, a guy with a baby and a gun. Why did they say there was a gun? Well, there seemed to have been bullets coming from him and the baby. Now, we know, we're pretty sure the baby wasn't shooting, although that could change when they look at the videotape. Because right now, I'm figuring maybe that baby had the gun. And maybe the baby was asking for it. Have you thought about that? Yeah, that's right. Of course, I'm kidding. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sounding like Jeff Dowder now, aren't I?
You sound like an idiot.
Why don't you shut up? You don't even know. You can't even figure out what the hell it is I'm trying to say. I'm making a point through sarcasm.
Yeah.
You know how to spell sarcasm?
Yeah, A-S-S.
Never mind, bud, I'll just ignore you. It doesn't matter to me. You're not even here, man. You're not even alive to me. You're dead to me. You died to me a long time ago, bud, a long time ago.
Oh, boo-hoo. What is this, the Rifleman or something? Jesus.
The Rifleman? Well, you little...
Oh, it's melodrama.
All right, now, here is the Tuesday afternoon. Oh, yeah. The fatal sequence of events that has L.A.'s police chief lining up on one side, the girl's family and their attorney, and a string of community activists on the other. Boy, anybody that smells a stinking dollar. Oh, my God. Look at... I'm sorry this baby croaked. And I shouldn't even say croak. That was the wrong word. Baby dies, the cops that did it, man, those guys have to live with that for the rest of their lives. But these people are apparently trying to make this guy out, this father out, to be dad of the year. That's what Police Chief Bratton said. It's funny about the LAPD. Here's a guy, Bratton, who asked for money so they could have more police patrols in some of the poorer parts of the city. And, of course, the Los Angeles voting populace responded, as they always do, with a big fat yawn. So he's got to make do with what he's got. Meanwhile, the very people in some of these lower-income areas that he is asking for more officers to help patrol those areas for, they got a big, fat, freaking hard-on for the LAPD, too, because one of their own comes walking out of a house with a gun, holding the baby up as a human shield. And sometimes that human shield stuff doesn't work. Now, the kid brother says this, "My brother was yelling, 'This is my baby, this is my baby,' holding the baby out in front of him," right? Yeah, and holding a gun in the other hand. As recently as today or yesterday in the news, there were some of the mothers in the neighborhood as the cops went down there to try to reconstruct the scene, sticking their babies up in the faces of these cops. Look at Bratton, if you know what's good for you, next time that situation happens, let your cops die. Let a few cops just die. Because the people don't care. The average citizen would much rather see a cop die than some poor crack addict, some cat who is inside the house doing maybe 2-3 cans of paint in between a sports page and a cigar, and decided that he'd had it with life. Life is unfair. Life blows. He was born in a certain socioeconomic plateau. He was sort of stuck there. The whole thing is just all messed up. I know. I'll grab that baby eating pablum right there and some Gerber strained beets. I'll grab my pistol, and I'll walk outside wailing at the horror of life. The horror and the utter tragedy of why I am not Ricardo freaking Montalban or one of them other Mexicans. Yes, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. And people will know me. They will know me finally. Peña. Yes, me, Peña. I will have lived. I will take the baby. Shut up, you fool. This is our moment on TV. And out I will go into the street with my gun. I will go into the street with my gun. And there... And those pigs are nothing more than Clint Eastwoods, lined in arrayed against me. Waving the gun frantically, holding the infant in front of him, he screams, "This is my child!" Just like he's Kunta Kinte, man, raising that baby up to the stars, right? Proud father. Now, you don't understand, but in his culture, baby, that's a wonderful thing. in his culture, that's pride. He held his baby aloft to the police and he said, "This is my child." And with the other one, he held a gun and he was shooting at the cops to try to get their attention. Would you guys quit screwing around on the radio and listen to me? Boom, 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 boom. One of the things that I've always had a problem with, that I join with many of the community activists on this one, it really is beginning to grate on my nerves that when the cops are shot at, they shoot back. What's that about? Okay. What do you pigs think you're doing anyway, shooting back when you get shot at? Who do you think you are? You mean the guy shoots at you and you shoot back? Well, you freaking Nazi. No wonder our country's nothing but a freaking gulag. The Patriot Act, Bush, the whole thing's going to hell. Jane Fonda's right. I was with Jane the other day in her hot tub, and she was saying, "Oh, God, why?" And I said, "I don't know, Jane," as I scrubbed her feet. As I rubbed her foot with one of those rocks. You know, one of them massage rocks? You know, you cops better get a clue. When a guy shoots at you, you're supposed to stop and assess the situation. Was he shooting at you, or was he just shooting in your vicinity? Stop and assess. And when you stop and assess... And the other thing is, how come you guys couldn't take that guy out with a shot to the head like that one cat did in Dog Day Afternoon, huh? How come they don't do that? I'll tell you why they don't do that. Because they don't like Mexicans, that's why. And they want to kill babies, anything that's from south of the border. Anything, man, that even smells a chimichanga, baby. Anything out there that's... They're ready to go, man. They'll go off on you. So there's two mistakes that I find. They didn't shoot the guy through the head with a special sharpshooter type of a deal that they could have gotten. Go over there to the SWAT team. Ain't they got one of them? That's number one. Number two, they should have gotten a relative who would come and talk sense to him, like in those prison movies. You've seen the prison movies where the guy, or the, you know, "Joe, this is your father. Come on out of there." They should have had a guy like that. Now, the problem is, of course, if they get the wrong guy and he comes out, he goes, "Oh, you, I hate you. Now I'm going to kill the kid." Boing. Then that's, see, that could have happened. But, However, the good news is this. At this moment, there are at least four or five writers, probably all of them stringers for the L.A., say, New Times, all of them, in other words, getting paid about $5 a month, who are lining up to get the film rights for this. They'll write the script. It will be optioned off to the Weinstein brothers. They'll make a film. It'll probably star, oh, I don't know, Nicolas Cage is one of the cops, and the other guy will be sort of Vincent D'Onofrio, some, you know, kind of dark, implosive sort of method actors, modern-day method guys that kind of have the respect of the community but don't make movies that anybody sees. You know those guys? And they'll make this film, and it will be sad, and it'll have a nice, long-running postscript at the end, maybe a little voiceover, make a nice, neat $100 million, probably get nominated for Best Sound and maybe Supporting Actor, and then it'll just go up into the dusty DVD bin, and some guy will go, "I like this one. Is this the one, a national treasure?" And that'll be it. And people make a whole lot of bread. But the thing that I learned the most about this LAPD shootout, you see a guy holding a baby, forget about the guy. What's that baby doing? If you look at the picture, you got it. The baby's flipping off her old man. No wonder he got pissed. The baby's like, with the finger, and her dad just, "Why, you filthy." You wonder who killed Kennedy? JFK Jr. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, but I think he did. That little salute, you know what that was? That was, "Oh, man, woo! I wrapped this and there ain't nobody know." The little salute, JFK Jr. Where was he? I'll tell you where he was. He was hiding under the front seat. The old man, JFK, grabs his throat. Why? He got shot from the floorboard. Why? JFK Jr. came out with a little gun, a Derringer. Just bleep, went underneath, and JFK, like that. And then Oswald finished it off. As soon as the car pulls into the lot, the cops search the car. They don't go under the seat. JFK Jr. sees the coast is clear. He crawls out. He just kind of walks up on, hails a cab, and goes back to the hotel. Gets a jet, stows away on board Air Force One as Johnson's taking the oath of office. And by the time they land, he just happens to be strolling out of the cargo bin. And, "Oh, there you are. We were, yeah." That's who did it. I'm tired of it. I'm Bob Hope. We'll be right back.
That there are considerations for the police, but you don't know what it's like to lose a child until you've had a child.
And for you to make the comments that you made, I thought they were out of line.
No, but I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying...
Well, I know what you're saying. You're saying, in other words, the police had every right in the world to open fire on that child. And I think...
They weren't shooting at the kid. I mean, I don't... If they were shooting at the kid, then they deserve everything that's coming to them. But I have to tell you, it doesn't... It's not coming down like that. If there was no weapon on the father, if there was no real threat to these officers, if they hadn't already had this guy in a hostage situation for a great length of time, there are a lot of things that add up to cops don't want to kill a baby, you know.
Phil, I had a child. Jason J. Delmonico is my world. To lose a child, to outlive your own child, there's no hell on earth like it. I would do anything.
Well, I don't want to upset you.
You don't know what it is to be a mother. Let me tell you something. Every day I get up, during these summer months, Jace and I go down to the agency. We talk with Loretta, who is his agent. We go out to auditions. If Jason is working, we are up very early. We're out on the set. We are working till noon. I try to make his dressing room comfortable so we can lay down and have a nap. He has to go to the tutor, the studio tutor. And through it all, I'm thinking about what can he do. Let me tell you...
Margaret, most mothers don't have children who are a child...
No, let me tell you something about how much I love this boy. He's up against boys in this one audition for an after-school movie that they're going to have on in the fall on ABC. He's nervous. He says, Mom, I don't think I can do the part because these boys are much older than me. I said, I know. I can see that. Now, the scene is they're in a swimming pool, and he's got to put on a Speedo. All the boys are much older. He's really afraid they're going to get the part, and he isn't. I went down to the car, and I got some of the laundry, and I got a sock, and I put it into his Speedo. Now, let me, before you... Do you want to know something? You got the point. Because that was what I was willing to do for my son.
You jammed a sock in his Speedo.
Yes. Are you going to ask me why?
I don't imagine you're going to want to tell me.
No, I don't want to have to tell you. And I would appreciate it if you don't ask me why.
Is it about a bulge?
What was that?
Just shut up, bud. You needed for him to look like a man.
I needed for him to look as old as the other boys he was auditioning against. And the only thing that I could think of, and it was a moment of desperation, and all I could think of was, you've got to get those shorts filled out somehow. So I went down.
Are you kidding me? You're talking about...
Phil, it was either that or I go into a grocery bag for a couple of... You know, you don't understand. You really don't what it is to be a mother. And
why do you go into a grocery bag for what?
So you're going to make fun of me for this, right?
Well, what?
I was going to get a couple of plums out of it and see what... I didn't know what to do. So you're laughing, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Boy, what a couple of tards. You douchebags.
Look at Margaret. You're the one... What do you mean you went and got...
I was going to put two plums in a sock in his shorts. Why? Because I want the boy to get the part.
Do you know how asinine he would look? How old is he?
10.
That's great. So he's 10, and he's got these two huge plums and a big sock in his shorts. What is he, like the 10-year-old John Holmes?
Oh, you disgust me. You really do. You really do.
How old did you want him to look?
He's a 10-year-old.
You wanted him to look 16?
He needed to be 18.
Why is this child going out on a call for 18-year-old actors?
He can do it, Phil. He plays older. Except in his pants.
He doesn't play older in his pants.
Oh, you really? You know what? You both, but you and the retard can burn. God, I hope you burn.
What's she yelling at me for?
Because you butted in. He plays older, but not in his pants? You know, a mother loves her son so much, I was going to shove two plums and a sock down there so he could get the part. 1-800-449-8686.
Come down there to the BP station at 15th and Main. 15th and Main, the BP station. We're going to have a big band reggae sunsplash, y'all. 3 big bands for you there. Also, you can bring down the children, and they're going to be dancing and singing. There'll be a clown there for the children, too. Bring your cigarettes. Smoke in the parking lot of the BP station in Kingston. 75 degrees outside right now in Kingston Town. And, you know, if you're on your way to Half Tree or Spanish Town today, the temperature is going to be so lovely. It's going to be a beautiful day in Jamaica. You want to win tickets now to Reggae Sunsplash. I want you to call me and give me that big call now. And our number is 34712-3471263-4. Area code 3142. Ask for the international operator. Make sure she connects you in straight through to Spanish Town or Half Tree. Yeah.